You are listening to GeekaBoss Presents Read, Watch, Play. We discuss all things pop culture, including comics, video games, TV, film, and anime.
Hello and welcome to episode 13 of GeekaBoss Presents Read, Watch, Play, a show where we usually come together and speak about all manner of geekery from comics, gaming, and films. But we've decided to do something a little bit different this time around because this is our Super Star Wars special in honour of not only Star Wars itself, but of a damn fine game which was on the Super Nintendo. But before we get into all that, introductions are in order. If you're new to the show, my name is Stu, and with me tonight is Billy and Chris.
Howdy.
Hello. How's it going?
How are you guys going?
Yes. Good. Speaking of Super Star Wars, I played Super Star Wars Emperor Strikes Back a few weeks ago.
That was an even tougher game from memory than... I think I played up till Jedi.
Nice.
That was some fantastic games.
We'll go into that later, I guess.
Yeah, so this is our sort of pre-Force Awakens show. But just because I don't think I can get any more fever pitch than where I am now.
No. You'd have to get tattoos and, body modifications.
I still want to get a Star Wars tattoo.
Yeah, and I'm pretty close to that level. But
Boba Fett rules, because he does.
With the little ribbon underneath with Fett in nice, ornate script.
Now, I've gone, I know you guys are jumping on different points. Today, I've gone black on basically all social media.
I have too.
I think I've gone the same, yeah.
The first one to go was Twitter, because I think if there's anywhere that people won't be able to hold back, it's in that little 140 character punch.
Well, I use Twitter through my phone.
Yeah.
And you can, certain applications that you have, the application I use to use Twitter, you can mute phrases. Mm-hmm. So I've muted Star Wars. I'm going to go back into it again and try and mute.
There'd be
more
nothing.
Star Wars.
There'd just be this little trickle of information coming through at the moment.
It's like porn on the internet. There was a hashtag there around the other day, which was Twitter Awakens, which was like questions, I think, with some of the actors. I just had to skip over all of that.
We're too close now for something to happen. And on Facebook, I'm usually cool because most of the people I know on Facebook want nothing to do with Star Wars, which I'm happy with.
I've actually had to stop using my news app, which shows the headline and then usually a picture from the news article, and it said something the other day about, you know, Star Wars producers confirm what might be a massive spoiler, and it luckily just had a picture of the title, but I still was like, no, I'm not going to run the risk they'll have like a spoiler image of, you know, Luke or someone else on there.
And so today, if you're worried listening to this, we're not even going to really touch on anything. We're not touching on anything plot related from Force Awakens.
I'll warn you right now, I might talk a bit about the new Expanded Universe stuff, which isn't really spoilers for it, but that you might infer.
Yeah, but we're not going to go into
plot
details.
I do.
Yeah. We don't want anything, because we, like, even between ourselves, we don't want to spoil anything.
No.
The only thing we'll be touching on, this is sort of looking at our own personal history and our relationship with Star Wars, and importantly, if anything, we'll be looking at Force Awakens is what we want from Star Wars moving forward.
Yes.
That's more in the sort of as a global sense, not as specifically on a film by film basis.
Okay. Should we start by just saying no Jar Jar and no Ewoks, which were confirmed today as not being part of the film?
Really?
No Jar Jar and no Ewoks.
See, but
they went out of their way to. Kathleen Kennedy at the latest presentation was like, "Yep, no Jar Jar,
without,
no Ewoks.
Like no Bawop, Ninny, whatever it is. I don't know.
No Wicket. No little teddy bear.
The problem.
Teddy bears on Earth.
See, I never understood what people got so freaked out about that with the Gungans, because they didn't appear in the originals.
They were dumb, though. And I felt they were vaguely racist.
Do we say vaguely?
Well, not as much as Watto or the Nemoidians, the guys around the Trade Federation, were very racist. But
I do like Boss Nass, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I love it with the big...
He's Brian Blessed. How can you not love Brian Blessed in that? Yeah.
So, anyway, so that's what we're going to be doing. So, sort of going to be bouncing some questions off Billy and Chris tonight, just to sort of touch on a few things. Most of this got stirred up because, if you're lucky to know, be friends with Chris or I on Facebook, we've been playing 31 Days of Star Wars Confessions. Also, one of our writers, Emily, she's been jumping on and doing it as well. And it's,
oh, yeah. I'm not doing it because I'm too good for you guys.
You are too, you're well too good for us.
Neither is Christoph. Christoph couldn't even be here tonight.
Doesn't watch Star Wars.
He's off being a non-Star Wars person. Hi, Christoph. We love you.
I checked in with Christoph and he said he's really looking forward to the next Star Trek next week. So I think he might just be slightly... I didn't have the heart to tell him, though. So the 31 days of Star Wars, I think you've been most responsible when it's gone to some dark places. I think you've taken us down some creepy corridors.
It's my friends list, so it's private, and I make sure that it's not going to infect the rest of the
Star Wars Confession.
Yeah, and there's no judgment there.
Star Wars Confession. I made my own Jedi robe once.
Awesome. Like out of a bathrobe or
no, from scratch.
Confession. Yeah. He's wearing it now.
I wore it to watch episode one.
Nice.
Oh, lovely.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
I was half minded to throw the robe in the bin after that.
No. You hold on to that as like an artifact of past times. Mm.
So with that in mind, let's jump into some questions.
Okay.
So Billy, starting with you, what's your earliest Star Wars memory?
So I was thinking about this. So my earliest Star Wars memory was probably me being four or five, and buying Return of the Jedi on video. And I remember it because I read about it. Star Wars on video didn't come out like until a year or 2 years later, back in the day, movies.
The actual, like the release of it, because it was on TV for a long time.
I think that was with a lot of movies, they didn't come out until like a year later, 2 years later or whatever.
Did you have like a recorded copy off TV that just on a VHS that ran out of...
I remember because my parents owned a building and we lived above a video store, and so the video store rented, and when they left, I think, they left in a hurry or something, so they left behind videos, or they gave us some videos, and we had episode 4 and 5 were in like yellow cassette folders. I remember that, and they were the legit ones, but they were like, you know, the cassette holder that you give out to someone. And I remember going to Grace Brothers in Maroubra to buy Return of the Jedi on video. Like, you know, that's how old it is. There's no such thing as Grace Brothers anymore in Australia.
VHS.
Yes. But yeah, buying Star Wars and Return of Jedi. So I might have been 4 or 5.
Yeah. Chris?
I would have been, I think, about the same age, 5 or 6. But I think you're older than me. This is back in the mid-90s. I don't remember the first time I saw Star Wars, but I remember getting episode 4 on VHS for Christmas, and we had a VHS tape of Empire and Return of the Jedi back to back that we taped off Channel 10 with all the ads cut out, and that tape got so overplayed that the actual tape started to sort of lose cohesion a little, and then that following year we got both of them on VHS, so yeah, about 5 or 6 I think is when I first saw it.
I'm about the same. I think I had one of my favourite early memories, apparently. When we went to England as a family when I was 18 months old, my mum was telling me the other day, we sat down, we were staying with another family, and we sat down and watched it, and apparently we were all just glued to the screen. I can't actually remember back that far, but one of my favourite earliest memories was we used to have my brother got for Christmas one year, like it was like the Return of the Jedi vinyl story. And it was just someone like telling the story,
like the audio book.
Yeah, but it was like sound effects all cut into it, and it was sort of a bit like the way 3PO does the story in Return of the Jedi, of like cutting in with like different sound effects. And I loved it. Like I used to just lie on the like sort of the lounge room floor and play it, and it was fantastic. And it had like a really cool, like it was that awesome shot of Luke on the sail barge when he's got the green saber all lit up on the cover, and I think the other side of the cover might have been the shot of Wicket, like just Wicket's head. So it would have been probably 5 or 6. Really cool.
I borrowed off my friend, I haven't returned it to him. Empire Strikes Back book on tape. And that's fun because it's C-3PO retelling everything.
Yeah.
And I think it's got all the sounds and whatnot as well.
And it's probably Anthony Daniels.
Yeah. Question then, prospectively for when we have kids, is for their earliest memory of Star Wars, are you going to play from episode 4 or from The Phantom Menace?
4, 5, 6.
Thank you. Yep.
I'm not even doing that machete crap.
This man right here.
Look, machete is good. Machete thing is good. But no, 4, 5, 6.
Maybe just explain to the audience what the machete cut is.
So the machete cut is where you play episode 4, 5, and then when, because of the reveal in the end of 5...
Spoilers, by the way.
Yeah. So, you know, that Darth Vader is Luke's father.
You what? I said no spoilers leading up to Force Awakens.
Way to go, man.
So then you play episode 2 and 3 as sort of like a flashback thing, and then episode 6. I've not seen it in the machete order, but I've heard good experiences from everyone. But no, my thing is 4, 5, 6.
I've only got one problem with that, and that's I enjoy Phantom Menace.
So do I.
Look, I mean, it's for what it was. Yeah, well.
They're all hot messes, but there's enough nuggets of goodness there to be taken out of them that they're not not completely unsalvageable.
I think when George made them, it was very much like aiming for something his kids would enjoy. It's like I think that was the problem. It's like,
yeah,
I get that you're doing something for your kids, but sort of maybe do everything for, like, the masses, not just targeting children, I guess.
Well, he kind of... he shot the kids thing in the foot, though, a bit through all the politics, and that's part of why that didn't really... Because if he'd made it just as more of a kids' fantasy film, he probably could have reacted a bit more kindly to it, but because of all the trade disputes and the blockades and that stuff in the Senate and all the legalese, it kind of... lost being a kid's more of a kid's movie a little.
I think it was more what I meant more of that was more like, you know, the kiddish characters like Jar Jar.
Yeah, for sure.
And the Gungans.
I think the problem is as well between the two trilogies. When you look at the first one, like the originals, it's interesting that from all the behind the scenes things, you get that it's such a collaborative effort, that there were so many voices and so many cooks in the kitchen, and what came out was this sort of like mishmash of like styles and story chops and changes. Then you get to the prequels, and it's they're $250 million independent films, where Lucas is like. Achieved such a level of power at that stage in the industry and even with his own company where he says, oh, this is how we're doing it, and there's no one there to butt up against him anymore.
Yeah, definitely. And something that really came through in all the behind the scenes docos and the red there's a series of reviews of the prequels by Red Letter Media where they really highlighted that Lucas, you know, wrote the films and he made them record them as is. He wouldn't listen to outside criticism. Whereas, like you said, in A New Hope, I think Harrison Ford even said, you can write this dialogue, but you sure as hell can't say it.
Yeah.
And he basically ad-libbed most of his part in the film. Same thing with Carrie Fisher, same thing with Mark Hamill. And that ultimately led to better films.
Yeah, I think after he got popular, after the initial Star Wars films, he just was constantly surrounded by yes-men.
Definitely.
That's it.
And I think you get to a problem with that is that you go from what could have been, say, on the set back in the 70s was two people bringing two model designs to George and saying this or that, A or B, and he looks at them and says, oh, A. That then has now become the thing of legend that, like, that could now have been, say, for instance, the X-Wing, and now he looks at it and goes, oh, well, actually, there was this whole theory behind why I chose it, and it was all these things. It's like, no, it wasn't. It was at the time you made it. It was an A or B decision, but now you're trying to do it again with the prequels. So I don't have a... Like, I think anyone now that still beats up on the prequels, I'm like, if you just accept it for... It was made at the time period it was. It's the same thing we can say with, say, James Bond, that we love Skyfall, but then you look at a couple of those, like the Pierce Brosnan towards the end, like Die Another Day and things like that. They're so big and silly, but... They were products of all the other films being made around that time as well.
And look, as much crap as we give the prequels, I still enjoy watching them, but the one of them that I will never apologise for is Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, it's a mess.
Because that thing is just such an abhorrent film. Until the last half hour, and actually someone on my Facebook this morning mentioned that all the bits with Obi-Wan, with Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan, are good. And that is a film on its own to be great. But just all the stuff with the love... story is just terrible.
I actually can't remember when the last time I was that watched it. So like when you guys saying, oh my god, it's so bad, blah, 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 that hasn't flashed my mind, but I haven't seen it in a long time, so I can't remember. I think I haven't seen it since I first watched it half after the film. It's like maybe once on DVD.
It's largely the dialogue. Like it's again, Lucas's biggest problem is his dialogue. He does he writes stuff that even if you read it, like I quickly was in a bookstore the other day and I flipped through the novelization of The Empire Strikes Back, which I don't think he wrote the book of, but there was dialogue taken from his original scripts before they ad-libbed it all. And you can't even read it. It's just so overly expository, and it doesn't really... Like, the characters all over-explain things, and they just, it's very, very verbose, and that was part of the problem with Attack of the Clones. It was all soapy and melodramatic and just really terrible.
Yeah, because I haven't seen a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff, or the stuff that's been cut, because I don't own the Blu-ray copies. Mm. My thing was very much, I don't like the George Lucas touchy-touchy editions. Mm-hmm. I prefer the originals, and I'm waiting for them to come on Blu-ray. But from what I've seen, there was some really, really bad dialogue for Empire Strikes Back that got cut out, like sexist-type dialogue. It's like, wait, really? He wrote that crap? What?
Which you would expect, like you'd expect not for him to write racist dialogue, but you would expect the things that have been cut to just not work.
Mm.
And you just wonder then the things that stayed in. And when you look at looking at the production timeline between when episode one wrapped and episode three was due, they really squeezed and everything was under the gun for episode two for Attack of the Clones, because it feels rushed. A lot of the scenes feel like
it's a hatchet.
They just went, yep, got it. Like, we're happy with it, let's move on. And it's like, it didn't feel like it was there, but it got just squeezed through because they were on a time frame that had to happen.
Yeah, definitely.
Something I still don't get is the whole, like, I can't remember the actor who played Anakin in the first one.
Hayden Christensen.
Yeah, like the whole... No.
Lloyd. Oh, in episode one, sorry, Jake Lloyd.
Yeah, so like, Jake Lloyd to Hayden Christensen. It's a bit of a growth spurt. Like, they should have just... I get the whole, like, thing that Padme's meant to be an older woman.
But I mean, Ewan McGregor looks a lot different when he's then got, like, between episodes one and two from when he
got
shaved head up.
I don't know. I just felt like they should have gotten Hayden Christensen for episode one. Like, not have Anakin as a kid.
Yeah, or had maybe three Anakins all up. Like, maybe start... If you're going to go child, teenager, someone in his late 30s, because it's still an issue between the end of Revenge of the Sith, and everyone says we see they're not that old Ewan McGregor dropping off a baby to Uncle Owen, and then we're expected what, Luke's 18, 20 max.
I think he was 19 by the time a new
that son's around. That son's been quite harsh on old Ben, who well, that leads me into then, how would you guys feel if Disney remade episodes 1, 2 and 3? Do you think the backlash would be too great from the fans? Or
yeah, look, I think that would be a bit of a backlash. I personally think it shouldn't be done, because look, they're there. Like,
It's a thing.
Like, because if you're going to go back and change them, it's going to change stuff that's meant to be concurrent and whatnot. So, yeah. I mean, there's no point. I mean, yes, they're not the greatest, but just keep them. That's it. That's no point.
I think part of answering that question is going to hinge on how they execute The Force Awakens, because I would say off the bat they could probably do a decent job remaking the prequels and not remaking it from the story George wrote, but through doing a different story that doesn't rely so much on Anakin. And I know that's probably made a whole bunch of Star Wars purists sort of curl their toes in anger, but I'm a Star Wars purist, and I appreciate the prequels for what they were. Like, I probably slag on them a bit too much, but I do acknowledge that we would probably be better off if we had a story that wasn't focused around Anakin. Part of the thing that the Red Letter Media reviews bring up is that the prequels could have been so much better if Anakin had been part of the story rather than the focus of the story, and if it had been about the crumbling of the Republic and the fall of the Jedi, and if that had been the greater focus.
Well, how do you guys feel that the prequels don't exactly have any one character that we can latch on to? I mean, we can't really latch on to Anakin, because Anakin's not extremely likable. We can't latch on to Obi-Wan because he's not in it enough. He's in there as kind of an investigator at most part. We can't latch on to the Emperor. There's no one there's no one to drag us through like the originals had loot that we could all come back to.
And Natalie Portman's a queen, and Liam Neeson has no character.
I will also never forgive the makeup for Emperor Palpatine in episode 3.
No.
Like, I mean, it's
you're
great.
Gonna die.
Like, I get that he's like meant to be electrified and everything, but it's like, okay, he was younger in Return of the Jedi. You could easily just use the same makeup that was done in Return of the Jedi, not more bulbous and like, you know, like his brain's coming out of his head. Like, that was really bad makeup. Like, I'm sorry, I'll never forgive that.
No, it is. It was pretty terrible. They should get the Walking Dead makeup department on there to do some convincing old man prosthetics next time.
Oh, and it was so creepy, the whole, like, him kneeling in front of the Emperor. Was that...
Rise. The plastic is interfering with my breathing.
It was just like, wait, is Anakin giving you a blowjob? I can't tell right now.
But it's a family film, Billy. Despite all the murder and things, they can't put a blowjob in that film. It's a family film.
Unless just before it, it's got like his penis has a, like a lightsaber sound effect.
And then the midichlorians just go everywhere.
And the lightning sparks when he anyway. So, moving on.
So for you guys, and probably more back to the originals, what's outside of just the nostalgia? Is there something that keeps that brings you back? Like, how often do you... It keeps bringing you back to it, but how often would you go back and revisit it? Like, for me, I will go and throw on Empire is one of my go-to... I'm in a shitty day, shitty mood. I will just throw it on and just to chill out to. Like, what brings you guys back over and over to it?
Okay, well, I've got the movies, and I know we're going to talk about it probably later, the Expanding Universe, but, like... the games and the books and everything. I just love the fact that it's a universe that started really small, and even George Lucas has said that he has said like he'd rather other people make stories based off this universe they create. He likes that has happened, and I love the fact that everyone can contribute to that. I mean, we can go on to the extended universe a little bit later, but I just love the fact that I grew up with this, and then there's so much other stories and all these other different characters besides the main five type thing from the original trilogy.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same, but in terms of the films, like I watched Empire Strikes Back again last night, and the reason I keep watching them and the reason why I just re-bought them again by buying the Blu-ray box set is the original trilogy is just such a... it feels like an organic masterpiece. I feel like part of... where George went wrong.
Because it wasn't directed by George.
Well, that's part... well, the first one was, but even that still felt like Stu said, a whole lot of people contributing to the making of that film, and it didn't feel forced. The prequels felt forced. The original trilogy feels like just this alchemical reaction of, you know, the best actors, the director for Empire and Return of the Jedi, the two different directors, the different kind of themes and tones and story and so on, and they just kind of came together and were good... like a freak accident almost, instead of them trying to make a film that was going to be good or going to replicate that kind of success. So I like that they don't try too hard with the original trilogy,
because I think Star Wars looks the original, A New Hope, in terms of the way, and this goes for the prequels as well. George knows where to put the camera, apart from the effects of the prequels. His framing is still amazing. Like, it stands the test of time. The photography actually holds up. I keep going back, just maybe partially nostalgic, but there's just something about going to those different worlds. They're, for the most part, unexplained about what it is. Like, look at the setup we get for Bespin. We get it's a mining
gas
place.
Mining.
Yeah, and he just takes us there. And instead of having to set up saying, well, this is how it works, and this is what we do, he just takes us there, and we pick it up as we go, or he leaves it simple. This is a snow planet. This is a desert. This one's in the trees.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need anything more. And, like, when you think about how little we saw of each planet, like Hoth, we saw a base. Endor, we just see a base and mostly trees and an Ewok village. I think that's what I'd like to see more of. Mm-hmm. Just... take us somewhere, drop us in. I don't really need to know how the entire system works and how the geography works. Just take me and show us what it's about.
So you like the sort of sketched world building that then you sort of fill in the blanks yourself rather than having someone tell you what everything's about.
I kind of think that's the best way to go forward, because I think as fans, we naturally fill in. Like, here's the weird thing. Like, I remember growing up, I knew everything of how all the characters, like, I knew that how Darth Vader became Darth Vader, because we all said, oh, they had a fight at, like, this volcano, and Darth Vader got burnt, and that's why he's... Now, that wasn't in the... That was still in the time when we were watching the original trilogies. Mm. There was no real expanded universe then, and this was just... This is pre-internet as well, and somehow fans just spoke, and this is like, we didn't have bulletin boards or anything. You just sort of knew these things because you read it like in a magazine or something, and you picked it up and you told your friend and your friend told you. And the fans did. I think that's the weird thing about Star Wars. They've gone coloured in between all the lines to actually make the difference. And I think if they lay it on too thick and go, this is how it works, everyone will sort of buck away from it and go, no, just show. Don't tell us how it works.
No, definitely.
So how do you guys then feel following on from that into sort of this world when the expanded universe got dismantled by Disney?
Look, to me, the expanded universe is still there.
Still on your shelf?
Yeah, I mean, it's still... Like, it kind of sucks that they couldn't have made it work. But I guess, you know, if we wanted a new movie... It would be really hard for... I think it would be a harder job for them to include everything. You wouldn't make anyone happy. So it's better, like, to annoy people and just start from scratch.
I fully agree. The EU had to go. As much as I... Like, I have, I think, a good 70 or so Star Wars books on my shelf from pre-Disney. And... You know, I've got a bunch of the games and the audio dramas and things, and they had to go because if they were going to make a new film, it would have either been an adaptation of an existing work, which would have been nice, but nowhere near as exciting as this is going to be, or it would have been slotted into, like, a gap in the chronology where everything would be a foregone conclusion. Like, we know Luke will survive this film because he's in this book that takes place after it, or this game that takes place after it. So I understand why they just, instead of picking and choosing, just cut the whole limb off.
Are we seeing the problems now of not cutting away from your canon, your things, of your problems with Batman and Superman that we've been seeing? I think Billy said a couple of, like, for our Fantastic Four episode, if he sees the Waynes get shot one more time in an alleyway, he gets a free coffee because they're going to punch out his card enough. Because, so do we see, is there a problem now with being slaves to canon, that maybe this did free us up a bit to play around with again?
Well, I think it's a yes and no. There are things in the canon we shouldn't forget, and one of the things I wish they'd done was look more at the pre-Return of the Jedi canon, so all the really old Republic, like the game, the Old Republic stuff that's like thousands of years before Phantom Menace, some of the stuff from like in the middle of all the prequels, they did certain books that were good and games that were good. If they could have kept some of that to inform what the new canon would be, I would be all right with that. So I think it's not too bad always being beholden to canon.
I kind of agree with you. Like, I mean, the EU had to go, but I mean, I don't understand how they couldn't have kept pre-Return of the Jedi EU. Like, the thing with the EU, I think the latest, because what they did was they do a series of books, like as in, there's a storyline that goes over, like, the Yuuzhan Vong storyline.
The New Jedi Order.
New Jedi Order. Like, how long... They go for about 10 years, books? Like, the books being released? But
about
not 10 years story,
like,
time.
It was, like, 30 books or something ridiculous.
Yeah, and, like, they go over a long time, because, I mean, books need to be written and whatnot. They take about 10 years for all that storyline to finish, and it's about maybe internal story-wise about...
A couple of years. 2 or 3 years, I think.
2 or 3 years story-wise. And, like, in the books, I think they're only now just 40 or 50 characters, like Luke, Han, Leia and all that. So it's kind of... It would have been hard. It'd be after all the current book storylines as well.
Would you have wanted Heir to the Empire to be adapted?
Oh, that's a tricky question.
And now looking at even the way Rebels and Clone Wars are done, could you see possibly Heir to the Empire being written in by way of a... I know it'd be hard to be written in as an animated...
I personally would... Look, if there ever was going to be a...
an adaptation of it.
Well, if they were ever going to do a new series of stories set thing in it, it should have been Heir to the Empire. But like that should have been done years ago.
I haven't read them in a long time.
As much as I adore the Thrawn books, they have aged, and I think
Sithspawn, whatever.
I think we've kind of gone. Like a lot of people have sort of thought maybe the sequel trilogy should have been adapting the Thrawn trilogy into film. I think they're good how they are. Like Billy says, they're still there. They're not, you know, they're not erased from existence just because the canon's been cut off. I think maybe as like an out of universe animated thing or like a flash animation or something, you can maybe make something of it. But I'm happy for it to just be how it is.
And will most of the same authors that have worked before circle back around, do you think, in, for more stuff now in the new?
Well, something I've actually noticed, because I've read now 4 books in the new EU, and they're all by new authors to the run. Part of the problem with the latter-day EU books with things like Legacy of the Force and Fate of the Jedi was it was the same writers writing the same stories. Like, there were two, like Legacy of the Force was a 9-book series where one of Luke and Leia, Leia and Han's sons became a Sith Lord. And they went through the whole fall of whatever the equivalent of the Republic at that time was, and then in the following series, Fate of the Jedi, written by most of the same people, was that story repeated largely. And those authors have been with the EU for a very long time, whereas now I read stuff like the Battlefront tie-in, Twilight Company, written by Alexander Freed. It was his first novel. He'd never written anything, let alone a Star Wars book, and it was great because it was this fresh new voice. Ditto that for Lost Stars by Claudia Gray, which was this sort of Star Wars YA going through the original trilogy with these two characters, which was, again, she's a new author to the setting. I like that they're not rehiring everyone who was from the old run. New blood is good.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, I think that's what they're doing. They're very much doing new blood for stuff. Okay, I have a question, I guess. I mean, what is our... Like, I mean, we could talk about the EU. What is your favourite EU characters and stories?
Mara Jade.
Just the one?
Oh, no, no. I'm just getting that out of the way because I want her back. And I know a ton of other people want her back in the universe, and they're quietly hoping that she'll pop up in The Force Awakens as a hitherto unmentioned character.
Yeah, look, I love Mara Jade. Admiral Thrawn is one of my favourite villains.
I would love him to turn up. Just even if he's not the same plot as the Thrawn trilogy, I'd love him to be a bad guy.
I've only read the Thrawn trilogy. I loved him as a baddie. He was
smart.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
And he wasn't really a villain the way like Palpatine is, like a cackling evil maniac. He was a calculating, he was ruthless. He was like almost an anti-villain.
Well, that's what I want from my... I want my villains to be good. That's, yeah. I think, the problem we lose in a lot of pop culture entertainment at the moment. Like, our villain... Like, that's what Batman... Like the,
our villains have to be
the
defeated.
Nolan one worked because the Joker was sort of good at what he was doing, and he makes our hero rise to the challenge. Mm. I mean, it's so cliche, but if you don't buy that they're good at what they do, you're not going to buy that we have to pump up for that... challenge.
See the X-Men series, I really like that. And I think it's Yasan Asad. She's the head of like Imperial Intelligence, and she was just crazy as batshit crazy. Yep.
So with the EU like that, and we're seeing the changes, and is Battlefront now taking us into the new look of what gaming's possibly going to be in the Star Wars universe. What then do you want? What kind of stuff do you guys want from a gaming side going forward?
Well, first of all, I was really unimpressed with Battlefront. I played it on PC at my local gaming store and was just so let down by it. Especially because I... Do you agree, Billy, you didn't like it either?
No, I liked it.
Okay. See, I still love the original too.
I've heard it's quite a shallow experience outside of the look and the feel. Is it gameplay-wise?
I felt it was, yeah.
Look, outside of the look and feel, which is, you know, a big part of it, it is essentially just like a shoot-em-up, an online shoot-em-up where, like, there's no individual thing, which I agree. But, like, I enjoy being online and fighting against people. So I guess it depends, like, on your take on that. Like, I very much like the whole... Like, I don't like the fact that there is only, like, locally, you can only play two people, split screen. I think split screen is a thing of the past for locally on a lot of games, but...
See, I miss split screen. I love the old Battlefronts where you could pop on, like, four controllers on the Xbox.
Like GoldenEye kind of thing. And
good times.
But the way those worlds, I've only seen it run on demos, the actual fleshing out of the worlds looked pretty impressive. If we could get that in a...
Visually gorgeous. Yeah. And they've got the look and feel of the universe down pat.
I guess the bad thing is EA is kind of... Nothing against EA, they may put out a lot of games, but they are very much of the milking the DLC for stuff.
So how long till we get our... Fallout 4 meets Star Wars, which would be mind-blowing, a big world that
and
we could go
full of DLC and micropayments.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I'm sure they will do a game like that. I mean, they're still thinking about bringing back a game that was... A game that was almost ready to be get started making. Well, I think it was meant for Star Wars.
Is this Underworld 13?
Yeah, 13.
Yeah.
Which is meant to be like...
That was very close.
That looked awesome.
Yeah, it was meant to be almost like... Old school Jedi Knight.
That
Dark
was the
Forces.
13 levels under Coruscant. Wasn't
yeah,
it
was meant to be Boba Fett.
Yeah,
like undercover or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be really good at being undercover because he'd have a jetpack on and a helmet, and he'd have like a little.
Look,
he'd have
I
like
know
a little moustache
Boba Fett,
on.
But whatever.
Hey, look, he's not that bad.
Whatever. And they're like, you look like that Boba Fett guy.
No, I'm no Boba Fett here, man.
Whatever.
He'd get picked out by generic Boba Fett.
Oh, man.
But look, I think what I want out of the games is the same experience, awesome experience I felt playing the games that prior to Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Same sort of experience.
Like what?
Like
which games?
Okay, so... Dark Forces.
Yes.
Jedi Knight, Dark
Rogue
Force
Squadron.
2.
Rogue Squadron.
Rogue Squadron on the Nintendo 64.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
The GameCube one was alright as well.
Starfighter was pretty good.
I'd never played Starfighter. I played, I don't know, this might be too old for you. Star Wars A New Hope on the Game Boy.
No, yes. I played
that was so hard.
Yeah.
It was a really hard, and it's known that it's a really hard game.
Yeah.
I've played...
The Podracer arcade game.
Oh. The actual racer game was excellent
for
PC.
There is a game, it was like for the PC, I can't remember, it was almost like a pocket game. I can't remember what it was. I've been trying to find it. I'll post it in the show notes if I find it. But I love the Jedi Knight series. See, Cal Katarn, that's one of my favourite.
He's my spirit animal.
Yeah.
I'm actually replaying Jedi Outcast at the moment and playing it for the first time without cheats. God, I suck at it.
It's good though.
Oh, it's great. I love it. I thought those games were so good. I also miss Galactic Battlegrounds, which was like Star Wars Mute Change of Empires.
Nice.
There was another.
So much fun.
There was another sort of galactic one.
Empire at War. No, Galaxy at War.
Can't remember. It was
that
prior
was
to Galaxy at War though.
Wasn't that the... No, it was Empire at War, sorry, because Galaxies was the MMO. Empire at War was the space RTS.
This is the space one that you're looking at through a view screen with, if you're the Republic, C-3PO and R2-D2 are standing there. I can't remember what it was.
I think it was Empire
at War. There we go, Star Wars Rebellion.
No.
Rebellion?
That's the game. I'll have to lend it to you. It's a really good game.
Nice.
It was very much like building ships. I love the fact that you could have multiple Death Stars in various parts.
If you
didn't cheat, you know, to get lots of cash.
Because it's actually one of the things I'm looking forward with. I kind of, don't sound silly, want Force Awakens to hurry up and come out just so we can see what else is installed. Because you get the sense that so many people, from toys to everything, are just being held back because they can't show us yet. And when it lands, it's going to be a flood of...
I get a real, real Empire Strikes Back kind of feeling from Force Awakens. Like, it's going to be that whole, like, oh, crap.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. I like that they've sort of hinted that it's going to be the start of a trilogy, but it'll also be a bit more self-contained, so...
Yeah.
So since this is our pre-Force Awakens show, just to let you guys know, we're intending to do a post-Force Awakens review slash reactions slash probably continue on a few more topics that we've raised today. So simply, what do you guys want in a post-Episode 7 Star Wars universe?
I want a setting where a lot of stories can be told. I feel like the EU has obviously been the new EU has obviously been hamstrung by the film having not come out. That's why they haven't done many post-Jedi books, like apart from Aftermath. I think there's like maybe one or two that go after Return of the Jedi. I would like a setting where more of those new authors can come in and do some more games or some more comics or some more books that expand and maybe even fill in some of the gaps between Force Awakens and the end of Jedi a bit more comprehensively.
Yeah, I feel the same. Personally, I would like it how it felt at the end of Episode 4, whereas everyone go out and make their own stories. Like, the fact that you can do that, I want that after Force Awakens.
I could actually think... I don't think they'll do this, because I think Disney are a little too clingy with their copyright stuff, but it'd be interesting if they could do something like what Rowling does with Pottermore, and have, like, a fan-driven, story-based content thing for Star Wars where they sort of live the experience of, like, a Jedi or a smuggler or something, but make their own story in that universe, and they've got them all archived. Because, like, I'm not on Pottermore, but I understand that they, like, go to Hogwarts and they go through the ceremony and join a house and, you know, have their own stories that go in tandem with all the main characters of the story. Something interactive like that wouldn't be a bad idea.
Yeah, no, that sounds good, actually.
Now, we've seen Disney obviously owns Marvel, and the Marvel rollout for the last couple of years has been pretty straightforward. We've seen individual character films that lead us up to Avengers. Avengers, then the story jumps us forward a fair bit. We then break back up for the individuals, meet up again for Avengers. That's in sort of the cinematic landscape. Then on the bottom, we're now seeing Netflix come in with the smaller characters, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. with other characters, to then one day potentially... We're living in a world where Jessica Jones could possibly wander into an Avengers film one day. It could be a background. Daredevil could pop up in a Captain America story.
Yeah.
We've seen already announced in Star Wars, obviously we've got 7, 8, 9 announced.
Rogue One
announced and coming out next December.
Mm-hmm. There's the Han Solo anthology film and the Boba Fett one that they're casting for. See,
We've got Rebels TV show. Do you guys see that model, that Marvel model, working in the Star Wars world? And if it is, what TV shows we go to live action, like an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. version, you know, something would like a Tales from Jabba's Palace work as a weekly show, as a sort of Monster of the Week or Bounty Hunter of the Week style show?
See, call me a purist.
You're a purist.
I am a purist, and I admitted that earlier in this podcast, but I don't think it should. I preferred when... Like, I think we've been spoiled a little with Avengers, and I'm kind of reaching sort of maximum capacity of... Like, the luster has gone because we're having content out so frequently. Like, we're having two movies every year and a couple of Netflix shows, which are good, but it's kind of diminishing the effect of something like when the Avengers first came out and I went, wow, this is a big deal. Or when, like, the first Captain America came out, I was like, wow. I think Star Wars shouldn't lose that wow factor by having content be brought out so steadily and so frequently like that.
Was the wow factor diminishing because we went so long without decent Marvel characters on screen, and it felt like, you know what I mean?
It could have been, but I think we're going to be blown away. I hope we're going to be blown away by Force Awakens, and I think it's going to, if they, like, the fact they announced Episode 8 and the fact it's shooting in January and they're releasing it in May 2017, I believe, almost feels like too short a turnaround, whereas the prequels had like 3 years between films, so we could have...
But this is the thing.
It's a tight turnaround from Rogue One. That's December next year.
Isn't Rogue One meant to be a prequel movie?
Yeah, between 3 and 4.
Yeah, it's an interquel, I think.
Yeah.
And see, even that feels like it would diminish the effect a little, I think.
Look, I personally think, look, I'm on board for the Marvel model-ish for that. Because I read an article, they interviewed what her name is. One of the producers, one of the higher-ups.
Kathleen Kennedy?
It might have been Kathleen Kennedy. But like
president of Lucasfilm.
It was a big article. It pretty much said, look, we're going to keep doing the Star Wars stuff, but we're not going to just like, you know, we're not going to flog a dead horse type thing. We are going to put out content, but, you know, it has to be good content. Mm. So it's not, I think it will go a Marvel model type thing, but I don't think it will be as regular as the Marvel model thing.
I think you're right in that they're not going to, at least for now, hopefully, not going to start going two movies and a couple of Netflix and a live action and an animated at once. No, they're not stupid, and they know that part of the problem with the old Star Wars universe was oversaturation, and the fact that they were having so much stuff coming out towards the end that it all got kind of, you got kind of apathetic to it. So I think they're going to be a bit smarter with that. And the other thing is that the Marvel model allows you to tell stories in a variety of other genres. Like, you can have your big bombastic superheroes in the Avengers, you can have the war story in Captain America, you can have the noir detective story in Jessica Jones and Daredevil as the crime show. Star Wars can also do that, but it's much more of a... niche is the wrong word, but it's a much more localized form of storytelling. It's a space opera series. Like, I think Rogue One, they're going to do like as a heist style kind of film. There's not as much leeway in that universe to tell that variety of stories the way Marvel does. So,
I think you can.
You could, but I don't think it would gel quite as well as Marvel does.
A detective show on Shudder, that would be great. A detective show on Shudder.
If you tell me that the detective is Kyle Katarn, I'm sold.
Yes. Look, I think it can, personally. But yeah, I think they're very cautious. I'll actually look. I know I've mentioned I'll link something else, but I'll link that article that discusses it on the show notes.
So on that, also with what the new model or what it's going to look like, moving forward, do we have to start to get away from the Skywalker family for things to... Do we have to broaden the story completely for the longevity of... Star Wars?
Look, I think you can tell Star Wars stories without the Skywalkers. I mean, they've told EU stories, like the EU that finished, for so long without the Skywalkers. The Rebels has no Skywalkers in it at all, and that's been told, and that's great. So I think you can tell stuff without the Skywalkers. Maybe the main stuff will have someone. I don't know.
I'd actually go one further and say they should tell more stories without Jedi. Because one thing that I liked across all of the EU books I've read in the new run is there are no Jedi in them, and they're all about like rebellion soldiers, or they're about Imperial soldiers, they're about like smugglers and things, and I feel like they're a bit more relatable because they're not just going for the lightsaber and the Force. I don't know if that's...
Yeah, I did feel like in the original... Like in the prequel series, like, there was too many Jedi. I get that it was meant to be Jedi with the numbers, but like, it felt like there was too many.
I think I'd like that from a writing point of view as well, in terms of when people are getting stuck in peril, the amount of times that the Force can be used to flick a switch, or we've got people about to descend on us and I can't get to my saber, or I loosen it up, I get it at the last second. Mm. And I think that you can write yourself out of too many problems, but you're putting characters that don't have special powers into a situation, you've got to write them out better.
Yeah, well, that's kind of like in the Marvel Universe. For a while, they had... As soon as someone got superpowers, it was like, they're a mutant. And they kept using someone being a mutant as the thing. And so they did a thing company-wide which wiped that. Like, no more mutants. And that stopped it. So, like, they very much, they stopped being, this person has superpowers because there's a mutant. So it kind of... sort of similar to the Jedi thing. There's too many Jedis.
One of my favourite scenes in Twilight Company, which is the Star Wars Battlefront book that's just come out, is just after in Empire Strikes Back, the Millennium Falcon leaves Hoth, and Darth Vader's watching it go. And a couple of the characters we're with, minor spoilers here, a couple of the characters we're with in the story see Darth Vader and they actually get cornered by him. Now, if they were Jedi, they'd be like, ooh, lightsaber, 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 run away. But because one of them is a rebellion soldier who's just spent the day rescuing his buddies from AT-ATs, and the other is this unarmed former imperial governor, both of whom have no force powers at all. They actually, you know, almost die. And the tension of that scene felt a lot better knowing that they weren't just going to do a force shove and then, you know, run like hell or whatever. So I liked the lack of, for lack of a better term, the superpowered side of Star Wars in that.
It's one thing that sort of got me down about Age of Ultron, of seeing that there's only so many times you can have Thor, Hulk, Cap, and Iron Man together, getting ourselves out of a situation where there are thousands of things coming upon them, where you just know that a big hammer is going to get thrown around mindless. And like, I want something that
something
I want
different.
Well, that's why I really like the idea of people like Falcon coming in, who, again, I think we've said this on one of our shows, that potentially he could die. Like, he could take a stray bullet and can die, and that's something that we get. I don't get a sense from anyone else, maybe Tony, that he can take a stray bullet.
Well, think about how much foreshadowing in that film made it look like Hawkeye was going to die, and that was something I was actually genuinely worried about, because he's just a dude with a bow.
And they sold that really well.
And they sold it, and even though it didn't go that way, it was still an effective source of drama. Black Widow as well, not having superpowers. I like her being on the team, just being like a woman kicking ass. Like, she could, when she gets captured by Ultron in that film, she could die. You don't know.
Now, we'll be wrapping up shortly, but we just want to finish with a few quick fire questions, so you guys can expand as much or as little. It can just be you can just pick one or the other for some of these.
Mm-hmm.
So, you can either one of you can jump in first. Who wins? Favorite character? Yoda and Obi-Wan.
Yoda. I just watched Empire again, and he is such a troll. He's the best.
No, he's not a troll. I do prefer Yoda over Obi-Wan, though.
Alright.
Handsome when you have her too.
Like, just the fact that he just plays dumb from the get-go. You green little bastard.
Oh, he's great. I love him.
And just the sausage. He knows exactly what that sausage is. Alright, least favourite character.
Should we put down a house rule of no Jar Jar as the immediate answer?
Wouldn't be right, because he's not that bad.
Oh, he's terrible.
Yeah, but he's not like, you know, he's not a horrible... He means well. He brought down the Galactic Empire.
Watto.
Okay.
Bit too much of a racial stereotype?
Yes.
Is that... Yes.
No. See, I'm going to admit something before I give my answer. This is one of my confessions.
You haven't seen the movies.
Oh, I've seen the movies. One of my confessions that Stu and Billy will know was that back in the day, I used to think Han Solo was the least interesting character in the series. And when I say back in the day, I mean when I was like 8. And now he's like the most interesting and has the best, like, watching the original trilogy, and he's got the best arc of the three, the most interesting arc of the three, I think. But in terms of who I actually think is my least favorite character, probably Amidala. Because she doesn't have a character. Yeah. Like, she's largely...
Oh, yeah.
No disrespect to Natalie Portman, who's a fantastic actress, but she's largely eye candy. Mm. And she just... You see her struggle in interviews to try to talk about what her character motivation is, because there's no character to motivate.
She does come across as the love interest of Anakin, mother of the Skywalker.
She's the next best thing to being a woman in a refrigerator.
Yeah.
By the end of the trilogy.
My least favourite character, very similar, is Boba Fett.
Viewers can't see this, but I'm giving Stu two middle fingers.
Double barrel.
Almost for the same reasons that you gave. He just eye candy who does.
We can't be friends anymore.
I will give you, I know it's not canon, but I will give you an EU story to read about Boba Fett.
Which
I will
one?
Give you an EU story. It's in one of the Tales of Stories. I think it was Tales from the Empire.
Sure, it's amazing.
It's him going up against an Imperial garrison to find a bounty.
And I'm sure he did wonderful things, but he doesn't get knocked off
read
the cell.
Read it. I'm going to read it.
Empire or Jedi?
Empire.
Oh, nice. I'm an Empire.
I'm Empire, Return, New Hope.
I'm exactly the same.
Empire, New Hope, Jedi of late.
Oh. I love A New Hope, but man...
For lunch!
Jedi was just... Yeah, no. I love Jedi.
Greatest video game, Star Wars video game.
Oh,
made. Since this is the Super Star Wars special.
Man. They're so hard because, look, I love the... I'm going to have to say... Dark Forces Jedi... Dark Forces 2 Jedi Knight.
See, I'm going to...
Follow closely, but Jedi Outcast.
Yeah, well, that is Jedi Outcast, isn't it? Well,
no,
the second one is Jedi
Outcast.
Yeah. I'm going to go for a three-way tie. Three-way, wow. Between Jedi Outcast, which is the second Jedi Knight game, Galactic Battlegrounds, and the first Battlefront. Not the new one, like the very first one.
I like to give notable mentions to Shadows of the Empire on Nintendo 64.
A little Dash Render.
Dash Render.
And his Swoop bike.
And also the TIE Fighter series.
Yes.
Oh, they were good.
Yeah, I actually preferred them to the X-Wing series.
They were so much fun.
And finally, one thing you... If you could, what's one thing you would change from Star Wars?
Nothing.
I'd change Lucas making the special editions.
Okay, yeah, probably agree like with that. But you know what? Special editions, although they're crap, they got new people into Star Wars.
Look, I had a discussion with my housemate the other day. If they'd just done a remaster, like if they'd updated the lightsaber effects and updated like some of the sound effects, that would be fine. Like that's how the old Star Trek
explosions are great.
Oh, they're amazing. My problem is, like, choice scene is A New Hope when they first go into Mos Eisley and there's all the CGI monsters all around, like the thing the Jawas are riding that they fall.
Yeah.
It's stuff added needlessly.
And the Jabba scene.
Okay.
And the Jabba scene. Which is horrible. That kind of stuff you could take out very easily, but things like redoing the lightsaber fights, redoing the space battles, the star fields around, or like the Bespin. The exteriors of Bespin, like when they're running away from the Empire, they look fantastic, and that's fine, but it's the extra stuff I don't need.
I can give my top five hated special edition things. One, giving Boba Fett a Kiwi voice.
Do they not understand how accents work?
Why? That's keeping with now Phantom Man, with Attack
of the Clones. I get that, but still, I hate that.
The thing about accents is it's not naturalized from where you're born, it's from where you live. To get really academic and wanky for a second.
Two, the band in Jabba's Palace.
Yep.
I prefer the original one to the
playing
new one.
Playing Lupty Neck.
Yes.
And not Jedi, Jedi Rocks.
Yes.
I'll kick your Jedi in the rocks.
Three, Darth Vader saying, no, in Return of the Jedi.
God, I hate that.
Four, the Emperor in Empire Strikes Back. Where they go to the view screen.
Yeah,
they do the new version. Yeah. I prefer the old version.
The monkey,
which
face.
Was
the monkey
lady. A female person with a monkey on the face.
Not Ian McDermott. Well, it's now Ian McDermott, which is not terrible.
I still prefer the old one.
Yeah.
And five.
Gotta be the Jabba scene. So useless.
Yes, the Jabba scene.
It makes a new hope. It makes no sense considering it says, thank you, you're a wonderful human being. It's like not even funny. It doesn't even make it's not.
Oh,
even
it's
keeping.
Just really bad CGI. Like I've seen the thing with the Jabba slugging.
Yeah.
When they thought Jabba was going to be a human.
Yeah, like an Irishman. Or
yeah.
Yeah.
And it was just a large like dude wearing like animal
and
fur.
A vest. Yeah.
Yeah. And that looked better than the actual bad CGI because I think they actually lifted Han up to step on his.
The original cut, the original special edition was horrible. The way he literally moved. Now it's kind of been smoothed out over the years. How he comes back. It's. Yeah, but it's not
okay.
Nice.
Those are my five.
No, that largely my main one was going to be Darth Vader saying no in Return of the Jedi because that scene just works so much better that he's silent.
Yeah,
when he picks up the Emperor and just goes no, and chucks
one
down
thing I didn't know until I read the books is the reason Darth Vader dies is because he had a heart attack.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
What from everything like not work like from the
the shop
the electrical
machine. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And there's a book called The Truce at Bakura, which is right after Return of the Jedi, where Luke spends most of the book having like muscle spasms like Parkinson's because of the Force lightning.
Oh, okay,
which is kind of you know.
It's an interesting thing,
yeah.
Apart from the rest of the book, which was a shocking book.
It was a shit book.
Oh, it was terrible.
Well, on that note, that brings us. Pretty much to a close.
Yes.
Looking forward to Force Awakens.
10 or 11?
We're on 10 today. 10, this is Monday.
Where are we all watching it?
Newtown.
You guys you're at Broadway.
I'm going to Broadway. I'm watching it at 12:01 with some friends. Apologies, Geek of Oz crew. I'm not watching it with you.
Yeah.
But I will watch it with you in one of the many times I'm watching
it
afterwards.
We will be seeing
it again. I'm booked in for the Gold Class at Macquarie Centre. And then... backing it up at 9:30 session at Top Ride because I want to do... I think I'm doing 3D for the first one and Top Ride's got a VMAX at non-3D VMAX. So
nice.
I'll have a couple of hours sleep and roll down into that.
Yeah, I'm going to be dragging my lovely and endearing boyfriend to a gold class screening. I've been saving a gold class voucher for this, so I'm going to that.
I'm going to be at the 1201 at Dendy's at Newtown with about 27 friends.
Yeah, so we're all watching Midnight, and I'm sure we're going to all watch it again after
and
that.
And I'm just imagining the conversation, because the five of us have a group chat on Facebook, and I just imagine the explosion of messages it'll be. We'll all finish at about the same time, and we'll be like, guys, how
I'm curious as to who will finish first, because it's different cinemas. They all don't start exactly.
Ryan and Christoph and I are in the same one, so maybe we'll all simultaneously just prepare messages.
Race to the...
So,
I do hope it's good.
Yeah,
I really hope it's good.
And we're looking for any feedback you guys have for us on this. Jump on the Facebook, jump on the comments. We're going to be...
Jump on Twitter.
Yeah, tell us your favourite videos. Are you... We're
spoiler-free. We're trying to be spoiler-free up until day of, and then it's just going to be, I think, a free-for-all, but...
I'm pretty sure we won't do the post... Force Awakens podcast for at least a week.
I want to see it at least twice.
We're right on Christmas, so we might even push it till after Christmas. We come back for that anyway.
And we will be very much. Like, I mean, I know it's. We will let you know if it'll be spoilery.
I don't want to spoil anything. I want everyone just to go and experience this one, because I'm talking to a lot of people. They want a lot of people waiting for that initial rush to die off, and then they'll catch it over the Christmas break.
Yeah, they don't want to do the whole. Oh my God!
Yeah.
To be fair,
is Luke's father thing from Simpsons.
Out of control. Well, guys, thanks for joining us again, and we will catch you next time. Bye for now.
See ya.
Later, guys.
You've been listening to GeekaBoss Presents Read, Watch, Play. We discussed all things pop culture, including comics, video games, TV, film, and anime.